that we can use this process to grow our faith in God as we build towards that independent state. So let's go ahead and break into the three, and I'll go ahead and start to run about maybe 30 seconds.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing SCV to us, Lord. Thank you for bringing the church to Thankable, Lord. As we move on to the next stage of this church, Lord, we pray that you would just be with us, Lord, as we decide on how to proceed here, Lord. We pray that you would just be with the building committee, Lord, as we look forward to the future, Lord, to you, as where we want to, build a solid church for you, Lord. I pray that your guidance be with us as we make this big decision, Lord. We also want to give thanks to you, Lord, for having us many support from our mother church, Lord. I pray that they will continue to also pray for us, and so that you will continue to bless them and also us, dear Lord. Lord, as we go through this process, I pray that this will just strengthen our faith in you, Lord. We pray that that you will hold your faith in us, Lord, as we proceed and try to glorify you in your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just for your information, last week was the first time I think our whole church attendance breached 300 on a non-special Sunday. We've broken 300, like as a whole church, Chinese, Cantonese, Mandarin, youth, children, all combined. Last week was the first time we had over 300 on a regular Sunday. So God is definitely doing amazing work, and we're really praying that God will direct us. It's going to be an arduous task. It's going to be a task of a step of faith. But I hope that as you continue to come to this church, remember that, remember the church in your prayer, okay? Last few weeks, we've been going through a series called Basic Training, which is talking about spiritual training. And we talked about, what are some topics? Do you guys remember? Meditation. What's the second one? What? Confession. Third one is last week. Contentment?
Yeah.
Good. So contentment. Today, I'm going to talk about prayer, but before I start, I need to share a little bit with you something that God's been teaching me a lot, and I don't mean it in a very fake Chinese modesty perspective. I had a really hard time preparing for this message, partly because I knew that this is one of my weakest aspects of my faith. Prayer is just not one of those things that I don't consider myself as a man of prayer. I pray every day. But that's not something that I feel like I can talk a lot about it. I can preach many messages about it. And as when I was planning for this sermon series, this is the one message that I do not want to preach on. And in fact, I try really hard to get out of it. Because last week, who preached something? I preached. The week before, Pastor Chung preached, right? So I asked him, hey, Pastor Chung, it's your turn to preach. I knew that you are really good with praying. I knew you have a lot of experiences to share. hey, why don't you preach on prayer that week? That was 3 weeks ago. And then he asked me. Normally he would say, oh yeah, sure, whatever you want me to preach on, I'll preach on. But for whatever reason that day, he said, what other topics do we have on your list? So I said, there's confession, there is contentment, there is celebration. And then he said, oh, how about I just talk about confession? I was like, no, you're supposed to preach on prayer. Because that's not what I want to preach on. So even in my own human power, I was trying really hard to get out of it. God just put me right back to where I'm supposed to be. And then as I was preparing for this message, I want to share with you. The reason why I want to share this with you is because I think it's something that we all need to learn. You know, it's not something that we are naturally, maybe some of you are, but generally we're not really natural in praying to God. And so I'm just like you. Even though I'm up here preaching, I'm a learner just like you. And this message really kind of impacted me in my own journey of faith and learning how to pray to you. So here's what I'm going to do. Since we're talking about prayer, I'm going to give us a moment to pray. And here's what I want you to pray for specifically. And I want you to ask God to give you faith. That today, this afternoon, that God will teach you from His very own word. That you will walk away from here hearing what God wants you to hear. Because I know, sometimes when we come, we just don't expect anything. We come in and say, oh, here it goes, another worship, prayer, message, Sunday school, go home. But I want to encourage you and challenge you today, right now, to pray and say, God, I want to hear from you. I don't know what you want to say to me today, but I want to hear from you. Yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't we take a minute to pray, and then we'll begin our sermon. So let's pray in faith that God will do something in our hearts. Father, as we gather together today as a body of believers, as a family, Lord, it doesn't matter the words that are from me, but Lord, all it matters is what you want to say to all of us here. And so, Lord, I pray in faith today that your word will come down into our lives and will do a work inside of our hearts and teach us what it means to pray. And Lord, I pray that you cultivate a desire, a discipline, and a longing to pray to you, to speak to you, to converse with you. Father, we ask that you will consecrate my mouth, consecrate my heart as I preach. And Lord, I pray that all of us will receive exactly the things that you want us to walk away with today. Lord, help us to listen to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start by showing you a little movie clip, a movie called Meet the Parents. I don't know how you've seen it, but it's a little older movie. It's about prayer, so let's watch. Can you guys hear it okay? Let me back up a little bit. Things we pray. one of my favorite comedy. And here Pam is bringing home a boyfriend to meet her father. Her father's supposed to be some CIA agent. And you know, it's, you know, we all kind of giggle when we look at that, when people pray, when he prayed like that. You know, he completely, he obviously has never ever prayed, really legitimately prayed. But then he wanted to impress the hopefully the future father-in-law, so he goes day by day by day. Right, and so he starts preaching, starts praying, and it is so awkward. He starts throwing these old English words, and hopefully it will stick, and it sounds spiritual. And I think this is a good picture of sometimes how we feel about prayer. I'm going to say something very, very honestly, that probably you already thought about it in your head. You might feel that way, but you will never say that at church. Nor will you say that, you know, generally to other people. But here's the thing. I think most of us think that praying to God is weird. It feels weird to pray to God. Whether we're praying on our own, in our hearts, or praying out loud, we feel awkward when we pray. You know, especially when we're praying on our own, you know, when we pray at home in our hearts. I don't know about you, when I pray sometimes, when I close my eyes, I pray. Sometimes I wonder, is it really me praying to God? Or is it just me praying to myself? And I'm praying, God, help me to do this. And then all of a sudden, another thought comes in and goes to the other way. Say, wait, I need to pick up Luke. I need to buy this. I need to do that. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, grab that thought back. Wait, no, I just want to pray to God. And then I pray 2 seconds later, whoops, it just went the other way. And it's such a weird thing that we can't seem to focus. And especially those people, those of you who might not be called to Christ, you wonder, is prayer really real, or is it just an imaginary thing that it just makes us feel better? When people say, "Oh, I feel God," and then some of you are followers of Christ, I pray, I don't feel God, and I actually know that people left the faith because they felt like, "Wait, I pray, but I never feel it." Like some people have shared in a testimony or in their small groups, how come my prayer is so weird? It doesn't feel right. Now, also not just in our own hearts. I think even when people pray out loud, I think there are two groups of people. Some of us would hate to pray out loud. And sometimes I ask people to pray in youth group or in service, and then they have this look of death. And they're like, no, I'm gonna die if I just pray out in front of everybody. We get scared. What would people think? What I'm saying? Do I need to pray to be sweet like thee? By day, oh Lord Jesus. And do we need to get those right words? What if I don't use those words? People might say, that doesn't sound like a legitimate prayer. What if I just use normal language? Is that okay? Or the other group is, some people love to pray out loud. Because that's an audience. They're not praying, they're preaching. They go on and on and on about many things. And then after a while you wonder, wait, what? Are you preaching or are you praying? And they wanted the attention. They wanted people to say, amen. The more amen they go, the more they pray. Or when no one answered, they're like, wait, I need to use some other words. And they need to have a long pause. And so for some reason, prayer seems to be a very strange thing for many of us. And you know, it's funny because Luke, you know, he's very observant. And he goes to a lot of different meetings, prayer meeting, and church with me, church functions with me. And one day Luke came home when he was young, I think 2 or 3. We were praying at home. And then Luke, all of a sudden, he was praying with us too. But all of a sudden, he started making noises. I don't know if you guys ever been to prayer meeting. Sometimes people say amen. Sometimes people say yes. Sometimes you go, And then Luke had no idea what he's doing. But he's been learning all these words in his mind. So all of a sudden, when we were praying, he's not saying, And then, so, you know, we all kind of know that these are like, you know, if I hear that, oh, that's a good prayer. You know, people are listening to, I'm praying in the spirit. But when I don't hear, oh, man, like, I didn't do a good job praying today. And we all kind of pray like Drake. And so, the prayer has to be weird. How should we pray? And Jesus has an answer for it. Jesus teaches us how to pray. And so the passage that we're going to look at today, we're going to look at how we should pray. But before we look at how we should pray, we're going to look at how we should not pray. And so the passage that we're going to look at today is from Matthew chapter 6. A very, very well-known passage. And in fact, most people, when they teach out of this passage, most of the time when they talk about prayer, they will teach from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, the Lord's Prayer. Some of you may have memorized that prayer, and I know the adults definitely recite that prayer. And it is, to many of us, we know that as a model of what we should pray for. But today, what I want to do actually is look at the passage before that. Before the Lord's Prayer, what did Jesus taught his disciples about prayer? The Sermon on the Mount is actually a long series, chapter 5 to 7. It's actually a teaching by Jesus as he gathered up his disciples to go up to the mountain. And he wanted to teach them what does it mean to live a kingdom life on earth. What does it mean to follow Jesus on earth? And he touched on many, many topics, and one of which was prayer. And here's what he says. If you have your Bible, make sure you turn there. We're going to stay there for a while. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Here's what it says. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. And then he went on about the Lord's Prayer. Now, I want to start with talking about how not to pray. Jesus didn't begin by telling us how to pray. He actually began by telling us how not to pray. Now, there are three things we see from this passage. The first thing we see is how not to pray is we should not be praying to get attention. Look at verse 5 again. It says, when you pray, don't be like those hypocrites, because they love to stand and pray in a synagogue like a temple or like today's church or at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. One of the wrong way of praying is to pray to get attention. Here, there's people who will be going to synagogues. They are the group of people that like to stand up and pray out loud, and they want people to notice for what they're doing. And he's waiting for people to say, amen, yes, Lord. And when they don't hear that, they try harder to get reaction. And that's what Jesus said. Don't be that type of prayer. That is not true prayer. Don't pray like these people who want attention. And when these people stop and pray, they want to make sure that they are at the spot. You know why they are street corners? It's because that's where most people work. The busiest part of the town. They are at the street corner and all these traffic, and they want to make sure that people notice them. And that's the one of the first ways not to pray is don't pray to get attention. Now here's the second way of not to pray. Jesus went on and said, don't pray as if you are doing it out of a spiritual habit. Here's what he says in verse 5 again, 5 and 6. Here's what he says. I'll read that again. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners. Now in Jesus' day, the Jews, they were supposed to pray three times every single day. Morning, afternoon, and night. And at the right hour, what they're supposed to do is, they are supposed to stop whatever that they're doing. If they're eating, they're supposed to stop. If they're listening to, they're not radio. They're listening to whatever, talking to someone, they're supposed to stop. At that very moment, they are supposed to stop and pray. And what happened is, those people like to get attention, or those people who stop and pray, some go out loud and go to the corner and make sure people hear that. I'm stopping and praying. But some people, while they are not doing that, they're not getting attention, they might be doing it in a closed door. They are praying just because this is part of the ritual, part of the spiritual habit that they are supposed to pray. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer. How many of us do the same thing? When we come to eat food, I need to say grace. which is good, right? We should thank God for food. But how many of us do it really because we want to thank God for the food that He's given us? Or are we just doing it out of habit? Because at that set time of the day, when we're eating food, about to eat food, I need to pray. Is it a religious habit? Or is it a genuine prayer? You know, in Luke's school, preschool, they teach these little kids how to pray. And, you know, some of you guys who went through Christian school, they kind of taught you the same thing. It says, God is great, God is good. Does anyone know? Let us thank Him. What is that?
For the food.
For the food. There you go. So they kind of do that every single morning, every single afternoon. And while they're trying to teach the kids to say prayer before food, they can easily just sing, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. And we'll probably mean the same exact thing for the kids, right? And so many times I think when we pray, we can be praying out of habit. We can be praying out of responsibility. That's what we're supposed to do. And so we should pray. But Jesus said, don't be like those hypocrites. You may not be the loud one praying out to get attention, but you can still be the one praying out of just habit. And you need to do that, right? Once a month, we pray for the world. At a certain part of our service, we pray for other people. And we can do that as a habit, rather than genuinely praying to God. So not only are we not supposed to pray to get attention, pray to out of a religious habit. The third thing Jesus said is this, that we should not pray with spiritual insecurity. Look at verse 7. He says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Jesus is telling the disciples, don't pray like those Gentiles, meaning those people who don't know God. You know how they pray? They just keep repeating the same word, day by day by day, or same phrases. They just keep praying and mumbling stuff just so that hopefully, somewhere along the way, God hears them. They're not praying out of a genuine heart. They just use a bunch of repetitive words, hopefully that one of them, any gods out there that can hear what they're saying, would answer. And Jesus said, that's not the way to pray. And I don't know about you. How many of you have ever prayed with a lot of guilt, with a lot of sense of insecurity, thinking, I just need to say something repeatedly to God? If I say often enough, God's going to listen to me. If I just confess this sin over and over and over again, God is going to forgive me. Or if I pray for this one thing over and over again and just babble a bunch of words, then God's going to hear what I'm praying. Do you pray out of fear or do you pray out of a genuine heart? Jesus said, don't pray with insecurity. Don't pray like the Gentiles who use many things, many words, because God already knows what you're going to ask for. Then the question becomes, why should we pray? If you hear it, knows, why pray? And I think it has to do with, and that leads us to talk about how should we pray. By the way, you guys all know the Pythagorean theorem, most of you in school?
Yeah.
A squared, B squared, C squared. I think many of us kind of approach prayer that way. If I just say, dear God, have the right combination of things to say, then I will get the result that I want from God. And don't forget, make sure you say in Jesus' name, amen. Then our prayer will be powerful and our prayer will be effective. And we kind of approach that, have that approach toward prayer. But you see, God is not a mathematical formula. God is not a magic eight ball that you just rock it enough times, then you will get the answer. God is not a fortune teller even. And God is not a word problem that we are trying to solve. If we solve it right, God will answer what I'm praying to Him about. And Jesus said, you get it all wrong. If you're praying to get attention, you're praying out of habits, you're praying because you're insecure about your relationship with God, you're praying out of the wrong, you're doing the wrong thing about praying. So what does it mean then? What does it mean for us to pray? How should we pray? How can prayer not be weird? How can we not pray out of these things? Now I'm going to ask, most of you guys are students, and those of you who are not, I'm going to ask you to go back, way back, your school days, in your English class. When you are assigned to read a book, you're supposed to find out what that book is about. What are you supposed to do? First of all, assuming that you read the book, okay? As you read through that book, what are you supposed to look for?
Because no one reads it.
You're supposed to look for repetitive themes, right? Repetitive words, because when you see those words keep popping up, that likely to be the theme of that book or the theme of that paper. The same thing applies. You know, the Bible is a book too. The same principle applies. And here's what I want us to do. We're going to read through this together, and I'm going to ask you to pay attention. Are there words, are there things that are repeated? And if it's repeated, likely, that's going to be the theme of what Jesus is telling us to do. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Does anyone know what's the common theme? The word that repeated? Okay, pray. What is that? Father. Let's see. But when you pray, Father was happening in this passage, what? 4 times. So while Jesus was teaching them not to pray, by the way, this is not some secret code. You guys can do this. You guys just did it. That you read, you pay attention. This is what Jesus is trying to tell them. That the word Father was repeated 4 times. And if you read from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, the word Father actually happens 16 times. Jesus repeatedly reminded his disciples about our relationship with God, but he specifically said God, the Father. So then how should we pray? I think the answer is simple. The right way to pray to God is not to repeat things over and over again. The right way to pray to God is not out of habit. The right way to pray to God is not out of getting attention, but the right way to pray to God is this. That we are praying to God as our Father. That we are coming before Him, calling Him as our Father. We are coming before Him in a relationship as sons and daughters to a Father, to our Father. God happens to be the creator of the infinite universe. He is a powerful, powerful God. But yet when He relates to us, He didn't choose to be that type of relationship. He didn't want to tell us that that's our relationship, that I'm the creator, you're the created. But He insists on calling Himself as Father, who just so happened to be the creator of this great universe, who is a powerful God. But He chose to tell us that He is our Father. And I think for it is a very simple point. But I think for many of us, this is a very foreign point. And for some of us, even, this is a very hard thing to understand. I think the reason is because of our relationship with our Father. For some of you, the idea of Father is not a good thing. For some of you, simply, your Father was never there. Your Father was a bad Father. Your Father was never really showed up to your games, or your disciples never paid attention to you. You might easily have a very bad Father. And so when you say, God is my Father, you start thinking, how can that be a good thing? Because my Father was never there. So I don't understand what it means that God should be my Father. And for some of you, you might have never met your earthly Father. And you never knew what is the relationship with a Father is like. And for some of you, your Father may have passed away this earth. When you talk about Father, it brings grief, it brings sadness. You think about the times that when you were with Him. And so talking about God as Father is a hard, difficult thing. And honestly, as Asians, we're just not very good. Our track record as fathers is not very good because many Chinese fathers are not close to their family relationship. And by the way, on a side note, those of us who are guys here, that's why I pray that we've got to be good fathers one day. Even though you're young, we need to work toward being good fathers because you as a father affects your family's view of who God is. And so when we talk about God, we need to pray to God as well. Great, I know that. It says that. Now, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We say that. We know that. But it's such a hard thing for us to grasp, and for many reasons, regardless of your relationship with your Father. But here's this. Here's one thing I know. That regardless how you feel toward your Father, whether you love Him, you don't like Him, whether it was abandonment, whether it brings grief and sadness, whatever it is, God chose to insist on relating to His people as His Father, because it's all over Scriptures. I can show you passages upon passages that God called Himself as our Father, as His people's Father. Exodus. God used Moses to speak to Pharaoh and said, I am their father, the Israelites' father, because Israelite is my firstborn son. And back in those days, firstborn is the most important son. The oldest son is the most precious. He's going to take over the family. And God said, the Israelites, they are my father. They are my son. He says, and I say, He let my son go that he may serve him. God called His own people as His son, and He called Himself as a father to His own people. Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, said the same thing. For you are our father, though Abraham does not know us, Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Again, Isaiah is praying to God and telling God that God is our father. When we're God's people, He doesn't just say, you are just people from far away. I have this relationship with you as father to a son, father to daughter. Jesus Himself said the same thing. There are a bunch of kids playing around with Jesus, and then the disciples are trying to kick them out and say, don't bother Jesus, don't bother Jesus. And Jesus said this, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones shall perish. God, the great Creator, the powerful God, the eternal God, wants a relationship with you and I as a Father. Here's an important passage. Paul said, in talking about being a follower of Christ after being redeemed and bought back by God through the Christ's death on the cross, here's something that happens to us when we became a Christian. It says this. Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Paul says this in this passage. If you have turned your life over to Christ, something miraculous happened in you. First of all, you have been free as a slave. You have no fear in life anymore. You're not a slave anymore. And not only you're not a slave, you, he said, have been adopted as sons. When I think of adoption, I always wonder why parents adopt kids. There are really no benefits for parents to adopt orphans. Cost more money. Oftentimes those families experience more trouble, because many orphans struggle with emotional things, and when they brought to a few families, they have to struggle with that. There are really nothing to get from the family who adopt that child. I think the same is true with us and God. God has absolutely nothing to gain by adopting you and I. And in fact, we're not even deserving of Him adopting us. We were sinners. We were enemies of God. We have every chance. We take every opportunity to keep God away from our lives. Until Christ's love is, God's love is shown through Christ. That He said, through Christ, I want to adopt you as my sons and daughters. And when He adopted you, He's not just saying, now you can just serve in my house. Now you can just come to my church and do my bidding. He said, now you are children of God. Heirs of God. Not only heirs of God, fellow heirs, or NIV says co-heirs with Christ. You are as important to God as Jesus Christ is to God. God loves you with the same intensity of love that He has loved His Son. And no matter what you've done in your life, He said, I'm your father. Yes, you don't deserve any bit of it. But I adopt you. I'm not going to have adopt you. I have fully adopted you. You are now heirs with all the inheritance that I will pass on to you. The great, powerful creator of the universe calls you and I as sons and daughters. And he wants us to call him, not just God. He says, what enables us to do is, he said, we can cry out to him, Abba, Father. Abba is a word, an Aramaic word, and a term of endearment. It's almost like dad or daddy. I don't know how you call your dad. You call me daddy. And it's a term of endearment. It's a term that shows our relationship that we have with God. And because we've been adopted, because we have been saved by Christ, now we can call him Abba, Father. We have adoption and ability to call him Abba, Daddy, means that we have access to this God. We have relationship with this Father. So no matter what relationship you may have with your own father, you can have that dream relationship that you want to have, that you wish you can have with the Heavenly Father. I remember when I was younger, one of the earliest memories I have as a child, I used to live in this apartment in Hong Kong, out in the middle of the complex. There's a small little garden. It's a kind of circular thing. It's not a maze, but there's just only one path. Just keep going around in circle and circle. And then you kind of go in like four different directions. One of the earliest memories I had was one that I got really scared because I walked in there. My parents took me down to take a walk. And I entered one way. I think I couldn't have been older than four. I walked in one way. And I'm not that old, at the time. And I remember walking in. I saw walking, not knowing what's going on. And my parents didn't walk with me. And then they basically stay at the entrance. So I started walking halfway through. Then all of a sudden I realized my parents weren't there. And as a four-year-old, I was like, uh-oh, this looks very different. But it looks the same, but it's different because it's a circle. It looks exactly the same. I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. And all I remember was I was just crying and crying and crying. I started walking one way, it looks the same. And I backtracked, it still looks the same, but my parents weren't there. And then finally what happened was my parents started yelling. They're calling me. I hear their voice. And what happened was that brought me back to where they were. I think the same thing is true with prayer. Is because we are sons and daughters of God, because he is our father, he is our dad, we have access. We can reach, we can go to where go to him and run to him when we're in trouble. Because that's what happens. Matthew chapter 7, a chapter after what we're reading. Jesus himself compared earthly fathers with the heavenly father. And here's what he says. He says, of which one of you, father, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I can guarantee you no fathers will ever say that they are a perfect father. Not one. And I am a father. I know that there are times that I haven't been a good father. And that's that. Even those of us who are fathers, even earthly fathers, broken fathers, crappy fathers, normally would feed the kids with food, water, and just the normal good things to the kids. How much more would our Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? The Father, the Heavenly Father, wants to give us the good things. But what he wants us to do is he wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to approach him and ask him as sons and daughters and see him as our Father. As our Father. When we pray to God as our Father, the mentality of impressing people goes away. Because it's not about impressing other people. Now it's about, man, I just want to be loved by this Father. when we pray to God as our Father, as our Dad, it makes religious habit goes away. And if this Father loves you so much, I want to be in talking to Him. I want to hang out with Him. When we pray to our Father, and we pray to God as our Father, it puts all of our insecurity away. All of our spiritual insecurity dissolved because we know that there's nothing I can do now as His child, as His son, as His daughter, to make Him love me less, any less or any more. Praying to our Father is what God wants us to do. Praying to our Father is how He wants us to pray to Him. And here's the challenge I want to give us this coming week as we think about prayer. I think oftentimes we like to jump to that the passage of the Lord's Prayer. But then I see that as God shows us the passage before that, right before that, the importance of praying to God as our Father. That really set up how we will pray the Lord's Prayer. That we're not just seeking for things, but we're really abiding in a relationship as sons and daughters to the Father. And here's what I want to challenge each one of you to do this week, if you so choose to accept the challenge. Every time you pray this coming week, I want you to intentionally pray to God and call Him Father. Call Him Dad. Call Him Daddy. It's going to be awkward. Trust me. It's going to be weird. It's like, dear God, or dear Daddy? What? It's going to be awkward. But I think that's exactly the point. That we see God as such a God who's far away. You know, I started doing this over 10 years ago. And it's really changed the way I think of prayer, the way I pray to God. And every time when you pray this week, I want you to verbalize it. God, you're my Father. Dear Dad. Hey, Dad, I have something I need. I'm in trouble. Hey, Dad, you know what happened today? Talk to Him that way. And think about that relationship, that perfect Father that you wanted. You've always wanted. And guess what? Because of Christ, you have that Father in our God. And I want to challenge you to do that. And you might be thinking, what's the big deal? Calling Him as Father and Dad. It's not really going to change my life. It's not going to change my prayer life. But you know what? How we call people shows us a lot of our relationship. Because you know what? At home, no one calls me Pastor Ben, Uncle Ben, or Ben even. Here, most of you who have kind of gone through this church from the beginning, most of you call me Ben. Most of you don't call me Uncle Ben or anything, right? You call me Ben because I was started as a counselor. We just kind of hang out together. And so your relationship with me is very different, so you will call me Ben. And I remember, I think, over at CMC at a conference, Victor, not this Victor, the sixth grade Victor, called me Uncle Ben. And everybody in the group started giggling and started teasing him about it. And the reason why he called me Uncle Ben is because he only knew me as Uncle from KFC. So he sees me as this really old guy who helps out at KFC. And so he'll call me Uncle Ben, right? So when I go to Chinese worship service, they don't just call me Ben either. They call me Minister Ben or Pastor Ben because they see me in a relationship really around what the church does or what my in a church context. And obviously they want to show me the respect that I'm a minister in this church. But at home, no one ever just, hey, Pastor, Hannah never said, hey, Pastor Ben, what do you want for dinner? You know, Luke never calls me. Hey, in fact, on Friday night, he came to me at night before I wanted to see me. He said, Daddy, why did Colleen call you Pastor Ben? You're not a pastor. Why did you call me Pastor Ben? To him, I'm just his dad. He said, he called me Dad. He called me Daddy. You know, there's no reason for him to call me anything else because that's the relationship that he lives with every single day with me. And my challenge to you is this. Think about every time you pray. How do you address God? And I guess most of us will address Him as God. Because most of us just either see Him as a title, or it's a very vague thing. Oh, God, you know, whatever I'm praying, if you happen to hear me, you respond back. Or we see Him as a very far away God that He only created the universe and has nothing to do with our lives. But I really want to challenge you. When you do this, when you start praying to the Father, praying to your Dad up in heaven, it will change the way you see prayer. It will change the way you pray to God. All right, let me end on this verse. It says, from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. And I want to say this too, first to those of you who are not followers of Christ, who are not believers. That no matter how you view this, you may hear this message and say, wow, it sounds great. I would love to have that relationship with this Father God. Father God there. And you feel like, I don't know how to do it. And in fact, you are thinking, I'm probably not worth this God, this Father in my life, because you have no idea the things that have happened in my past. But I want to share this verse with you. It says this, because of Christ and our faith in Him, that means when you believe in Him, when you put your faith in Him, there's something amazing that is available to you. He says, now you can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So while you might think you don't deserve that, while you think there are sins and baggages in your life that keep you from experiencing this love from the Father, God said in Christ, through Christ, and as you respond in faith, you too can come into the very presence of this great Father that we have. And so I want to encourage you, if you have any questions about coming to know Christ, any question, and if you want to receive Jesus today, go get a connection card from the ushers. Check it in the box so that we can follow up with you. We would love to explain to you how you can be a part of, how to become a son or daughter of this great Father. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, man, this is an awesome thing that God has given us. Don't put it aside. Take full advantage of it. Imagine you can come before God in His presence anytime. That's the resource, that's the confidence that we can have boldly, not fearfully, that we can come and pray to our Father, to our Dad. And I want to encourage you to do that this coming week. Let's pray together. Our great Father, our great Daddy up in heaven, Lord, You are so loving to us. Many times we come before You, we don't know what to say, and You said in Scripture, You know even before we open our mouth, You know the things that we need. And You said You yearn to give us the good things. Help us, Father, to understand what it means to be sons and daughters. Lord, I want to pray for those among us here, Lord, that do not have a good picture of what Father is like. What a good Father, a perfect Father is like. Heavenly Father, will You reveal to them just how great and awesome You are, so that they will run to You and cry out to You, Abba, Father. And Father, I pray for those of us among You, those of us here, Lord, that have lost their earthly Father. Lord, I want to pray for them, Lord, that Your comfort and Your love will reach deep into their hearts as well. That You will be the Heavenly Father that can fill that void. Father, I pray, Lord, this week as we, every time when we're in need, when we're tempted, when we need a friend to talk to, when things get rough, when life gets hard, help us to cry out to You. Father, Dad, Daddy, help us to live and take full advantage of the access that we have before You. Father, thank You. We love You. And thank You for first loving us. In Jesus' name we pray.